Once again. Yeah, baby. How about that? No? Maybe? Hello? I think we're on, although I don't have any confirmation of that. And ye old headphones, ye old tin cans, the thing you put on your head to listen to whether or not you're talking. Could be, maybe, who knows? Yeah.
Yeah, we're on. And
I can hear you, though.
We can't hear ourselves
in
our headphones.
My headphones plugged in, maybe? Who knows? It's all happening in your face. We want to say a big shout out.
That's good. All right.
I got nothing in here. Is that, you know, that would be helpful. Maybe they're not plugged in. You know,
this is Paris Live Radio. You're listening to Le Frick Show.
We're bringing him back from the dead. You know, this reminds me of that story I saw in the paper recently that the scientists in America figured out a way to bring dogs back from the dead. They got some new technology. They're bringing little canines back from the dead. They put them out for a few hours. They're technically dead. Their heart rates, their hearts have stopped. Their brain activity is gone. They've got little doggies are dead. Then using this new technology, these new drugs, they bring them back from the dead.
What if it died of cancer or something?
Well, it's a simulated death. Simulated death, you see. It's not a dead from natural causes. The dog is healthy, but they bring about a state of indeadment.
Oh, I get it, yeah.
The dog is dead. They create.
They artificially kill it.
Well, it's dead, you know. It's no longer panting. It's no longer, trying to hump your leg.
Uh-huh.
It's no longer trying to eat some of that kennel rations. It's on the table. It's, for all intents and purposes, dead. The little EKG is, there's no, boom, 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 boom. So they got these drugs. They got
this flatlining.
It's flatlining. The doggy is flatlining. It's dead. They got the new drug.
So they don't shoot it. They just stop its heart.
They don't take like a howitzer and blow a little dog's head off. And then they got, they're trying to sew it back on quickly, and then they re-stimulate it. No, that's not it.
I see.
They deprive the dog of oxygen, I would imagine. They say it's like, what they do down there in Texas. You know, they kill people down there, it's capital punishment. It's capital punishment dogs.
Yeah, yeah.
So they're practicing, I think, to do capital punishment on humans. And then when you're dead, they bring you back and they ask you, are you ready to repent? Are you ready to embrace Jesus?
That makes sense.
And then I want to be dead. Then they put you dead. It's like being baptized by death.
Uh-huh.
It's a death baptism.
Until you finally say, yes, okay, and then they let you die.
Until you say, yes, I embrace.
You can finally rest in peace.
I embrace the American neoliberal model. You see, we waited 1 minute before I mentioned neoliberalism. That's a new record on the show. One full minute.
So, you're so repetitive.
Yeah, we got a report from one of our fans who gave us a breakdown. Oh, here it is. Boffins create zombie dogs.
Okay.
Yeah, I knew I'd find this report.
Boffins, that is such a British word.
Yeah, that's British for dweeb.
For nerds.
Geek.
Scientists.
Nerd. Scientists, guys who wear thick glasses and wear pocket protectors.
Like Bill Gates, he used to be a boffin.
Yeah.
Now he's just a neoliberal.
Now he's a
emperor.
Sex symbol for gay men in the Marais. For some reason, they're trying to be like Bill now.
Yeah.
He's our new gay icon.
They like pudgy Americans.
They like the little pudgy Americans.
Remember how skinny he used to be? And now he's a... Not.
Now he's just the middle-aged kind of geek. Anyway, these boffins create zombie dogs. Scientists have created the eerie zombie dog, reanimating the canines after several hours of clinical death in attempts to develop suspended animation for humans. Suspended animation for humans. That's their intent. That's what they're hoping to...
Suspended animation.
Yeah, they want to suspend animation for humans, I guess.
Is Disney behind this?
Well, I think who's behind this is...
Who owns you then? So Tom Cruise, it's the end of his time, right? He's ready to die. And what happens? Paramount puts him into suspended animation, and because they own the patent on the suspended animation technology, they own him?
I think what they're trying to do is suspend Cruise's animated symptoms and put him on a spaceship and send him into outer space, you see? through animated suspension, you can go through long space voyages.
Oh, yeah? Where are they going to send him to?
To another planet. The Tom Cruise planet. You see? They can breed a planet of Tom Cruises. You see? You see, Hollywood. Let's talk about Hollywood for a second. Hollywood is in bad shape. There's a huge slump in Hollywood right now. It's the worst slump they've had in 20 years. People are not going to the box office. People are not going to the theater anymore. People are instead staying home playing the DVD. So in their desperation, Hollywood is resorting to, first of all, a couple of things. Suing their customers. for enjoying the films via the internet.
Yes.
And they got the Supreme Court to go along on this recent Grokster MGM case. So they're suing their customers for participating in the Hollywood entertainment product.
Mm-hmm.
Now they got these Tom Cruise suspended animation spaceships flying into outer space looking for a Tom Cruise planet. They want to breed Tom Cruises, and they want to create a planet of Hollywood Tom Cruise lookalikes.
Is that part of this whole Scientology thing?
It's Scientology planet with nothing but Tom Cruise, Katie Holmes, John Travolta. And it's all affected by the – it's all happening now with these zombie dogs. You know, the zombie dogs are being put into a state of death. They've succeeded in reviving the dogs after 3 hours of clinical death, paving the way for trials on humans within a few years. The Pittsburgh SAFAR Center for Resuscitation and Research.
Actually, you know what?
That
could possibly save a lot of money. So, you know, you have a dog, and they're really expensive to feed, take to the vet, blah, blah, blah.
Yeah.
So you just keep it dead for most of the time until, like, there's an intruder in your house. You reanimate it, send it downstairs, and it goes attack the intruder, and then you kill it again.
Right. So instead of, like...
So you don't have to feed it.
The alarm doesn't go off. It reanimates the dog.
Yeah.
So you break into the house. The dog is instantly reanimated.
Uh-huh.
It runs down. It attacks the intruder.
Yeah.
Once the intruder is subdued, you put the dog back to sleep.
Yeah.
So you save money. You don't have to feed the dog in between break-ins.
No. And you don't have to do the pooper scooper thing and, you know, take care of it afterward.
Purely an attack dog. Well, that makes sense. Well, I'm concerned about this thing, Safar. Isn't Safar that banker that got murdered a few years ago down in Monaco?
Down in Monaco, yes. A billionaire.
What's his name?
Safa. S-A-F-A, I believe.
Maybe he was put to sleep, and he's behind this. He's trying to reanimate himself from the great beyond.
Yes.
You see, he's dead, but he's been able to communicate to scientists from the dead state.
Yeah, but...
He's telling them how to reanimate these dogs because ultimately he wants to be reanimated. He's being lying in a state of suspended animation somewhere. He's a banker. He's worth billions of dollars.
Yeah.
He was killed, apparently.
Now his wife is. He was killed in a bizarre manner.
In a bizarre manner. Right? Because somebody...
He was an obsessive, suspicious man. He was convinced that people were trying to kill him.
Right.
Now, his butler wanted to look good in the eyes of his employer and lit the house on fire in order to look like a hero when he saved his boss. But his boss was convinced that there were Russian mafia outside trying to get him, so he wouldn't let the guy come in the house and lock down the house. So he died in the
fire. Hoisted by his own petard.
Yeah.
Sort of.
It sounds kind of like it's an analogy for the neoliberal business model.
Well, we've mentioned it twice now. This is the truth about markets. The truth about the neoliberal model. Here at Paris Live Radio. Paris Live Radio. ParisLiveRadio.fm.
Le Frick
Show. .com.
Le Frick Show. It's both.
No, the Frick Show.
It's Paris Live FM.
Apparently, according to the consultant, we talk too much about sex on this show. I talk too much about humping you.
Yeah, that's because everybody else is in bed and they're sending us their
Just because we have a good sex life, why should we suffer?
Yeah, exactly.
Why should we have to conform our sexual standards to the gross mean sex standards? Just because these Australian wankers, you know, can't get it up, they force their low sex expectations onto us. Okay?
Well, he is a male Australian au pair working here in France, isn't he?
Uh-oh, that sounds like trouble. We're going to be delving into this in hour two here at Le Frick Show.
You're going to have to wait until then. Yeah. So, okay.
We're not finished with these dogs.
No,
we're
not.
Pittsburgh Safar, it's obviously this guy is communicating to these scientists from the dead.
Okay.
This is something Harry Houdini tried to do for years.
Okay.
You know, there's always been an interest in communicating from death.
Does this have anything to do, though, with that nuclear power plant they're now going to build in the south of France? Maybe that's his design to, like, reanimate.
Well, let's see what they say about this. They developed a technique in which the subject's veins are drained of blood and filled with ice-cold salt solution.
Oh, that has to hurt.
The animals are considered scientifically dead as they stop breathing and have no heartbeat or brain activity.
Yeah,
okay.
So would you if you had, like, cold seawater flowing
through
your veins?
So far, it sounds like they're describing George Bush.
Okay.
No brain activity, technically dead.
Okay.
No, it's Ronald Reagan. It's Ronald Reagan trying to get back from the dead.
You just talked about number one and number six greatest Americans of all time. So.
No, that's according to the recent study.
Yeah.
3 hours later, the blood is replaced and the zombie dogs are brought back to life with an electric shock. Wow, this sounds like getting better and better every time. It reminds me of that dog food commercial. You know that dog food commercial cycle? Cycle one, cycle two, cycle three for fat dogs?
Yeah, vaguely.
This should be cycle four for dead dogs. This is dog food you sell
to
your dead dog.
Yes.
You know, dogs that are dead, this cycle four. for dead dogs.
Oh, and it reanimates them or something? It's going to be a drip feed.
Yeah, it's a drip feed. You stick it into your dog's veins full of salt water, and it feeds them a little canine
or
vitamins.
Just for the French people, there would be a little Cycle 4 suppository.
Yeah, the French dogs would want the suppository version, of course.
Yeah.
Now, plans to test the technique on humans should be realized within a year, according to the Safar Center. This is the Safar Center for Resuscitation Research.
They're going to test it out in a year? Next year?
Within a year. Test on humans within a year.
Who's going to volunteer for that?
Obviously, the prisoners in the Abu Ghraib prison are going to be first up to quote unquote volunteer for this.
How's that ad going to read? Volunteer, you're going to be on Craigslist, and it's going to be volunteer wanted to have their blood drained, refilled with seawater, and reanimated.
Where's Osama? Wrong answer. You're dead. Come back three minutes later. Where's Osama? Wrong answer. You're dead.
Oh, this is what you suspect they might be trying out in Abu Ghraib.
Yeah.
In Guantanamo Bay.
Yeah, the truth serum's not working because they keep telling the truth. America's losing in Iraq.
Oh, yeah.
That's the answer they don't want to hear.
No.
So they want to put them to sleep, technically dead. Maybe they go into the great beyond, talk to this great banker, Safa. He's there in the great beyond. He's dead. They talk to him. They find out where Osama is.
He's gonna be shocked. He's going to die again when he wakes up and finds out his wife has spent all the money and she's like living it up in London.
Then he'll kill himself.
Yeah, he'll kill
himself. All this technology for nothing.
Wasted his money.
He'll wake up. He's broke. He'll kill himself. However, rather than says sending people to sleep for years than bringing them back to life benefit from medical advances, the Boffins, it sounds like a new musical group.
The Boffins.
The Boffins.
I'm sure there is a band called the
Boffins.
I want
to hold your dead hand. I want to hold your dead hand. Okay. Would be happy to keep people in the state for just a few hours, but even this should be enough to save lives, such as battlefield casualties. Mm-hmm. Well, they shouldn't go to the battlefield to begin with if they're fighting for neoliberals okay. And victims of stabbings.
Are they going to be able to reanimate suicide bombers?
I don't know. During the procedure, blood is replaced with a saline solution at a few degrees above zero. The dog's body temperature drops to only 7 centigrade. Is that right, centigrade?
Wow.
Compared with the usual 37 degrees, inducing a state of hypothermia.
No doubt.
Before death. Although the animals are clinically dead, their tissues and organs are perfectly preserved.
How do you get that cold?
They're perfectly preserved. This could be a new French technique for creating foie gras.
Oh, yeah?
You put the ducks under this technique, and then you extract the perfectly preserved livers.
Uh-huh.
And it's already chilled. You don't have to... It saves on chilling costs.
Yeah?
You put the ducks under the chill of the saline solution. It drops their body temperature. You remove their liver in toto, and you ship it directly to Carrefour.
Toto? The dog?
Toto.
They're going to reanimate Toto?
They're going to reanimate Toto. He's back. He's coming back from over the rainbow. And he's here. He's been reanimated.
I used to sing Somewhere Over the Rainbow. That used to be my favorite.
Don't sing. That's another one. The consultant said, Stacy, don't sing. That's what the consultant said.
He's a brilliant consultant.
Well, you've got... Thanks, Mr. Consultant, because now I'm getting beat up every 5 minutes.
The au pair consultant says...
you're tangling with the wrong thing here, consultant man. Prepare to live a life of hell. Let's see what else. Damaged blood vessels and tissues can then be repaired via surgery.
Mm-hmm.
The dogs are brought back to life by returning the blood to the bodies, giving them 100% oxygen. Well, that's fair. I think they should get 100% oxygen, not like 60% oxygen, and applying the electric shock to restart their heart. Tests show they are perfectly normal with no brain damage. Well, they should have tried this on Terry Schiavo. They could have reanimated the vegetable lady, and she could run for Senate like... Catherine Harris is in Florida. We'll be right back with more of the Frick Show right after these very important messages. Yeah!
One, two, three, and...
Déjame la ve, c'est sans mal et moins compliqué. On nous appelait, what did you say?
What did you say?
Ce sont des ondes alléchées, Manu dans ce monde complet nous enseigne sa simplicité dans les langues du monde entier. On nous appellera What did you say?
What did you say?
Welcome to the mothership, beaming all across Europe via Canal Satellite, channel 118, also available on the internet, ParisLiveRadio.com. Send us an email at LaFrickShow@gmail.com, LaFrickShow@gmail.com. Send us an email. We'll make it part of this exciting show. We'll make it part of this exciting show. I'm experimenting with the
You've
death
been reanimated.
Serum, with the death serum over the commercial break. I was dead there technically for 30 seconds, and I've been reanimated and brought back to life to do the show
every single day, which is why we repeat ourselves every single day.
Uh-oh. Yeah, this goddamn consultant. Actually, you know, you made my life hell for the last 12 hours. Goddamn.
We're going to read an email later in the show after a longer song when I can go run to the internet and check out our emails. But we got an email from Serbia.
Oh, really?
Very exciting.
What was happening in Serbia? One of our Serbian fans.
Yeah. He said he loves us. Anyway, that last song there was by a band called Zap Mama.
Yeah.
And the song was called What Did You Say? And you can find that. That's a Creative Commons song, okay? So you can find it on www.creativecommons.org/wired. So that was introduced into the public domain for you to rip, mash, and sample.
Yeah, well, these public domain songs from the Creative Commons should be linked to from the website, ParisLiveRadio.com, to support the digital revolution that's happening out there, to push back against the cartels, to push back against the monopolists, to push back against the labels, to push back against the Hollywood studios. It's all happening. The Financial Times this morning had a very interesting story on page one talking about the fact that the problem Hollywood faces is not competition from piracy or from people making illegal copies of their material, but from new artists who are taking an alternative route to the public via the internet. They're simply bypassing the labels. They're bypassing the studios. They're going directly into the public domain with things like the Creative Commons, which means you can swap music freely without copyright monopolists hoarding you into little pens of ghetto, digital ghettos. You see what I'm saying, Stacey? Did you see that in the Financial Times?
Actually, I saw it in the Herald Tribune.
Did you see that in the Herald Tribune?
We're not allowed to talk about the Herald Tribune
either,
apparently.
The consultant said, even though we got a deal with the Herald Tribune, we can't talk about it no more.
The Herald Tribune, they are our partners here, but they do provide a great informative service.
Yeah, we can't mention them, though. I mean, they might be giving us ads and stuff, but, you know, to hell with them.
So, anyway, you know, on page 18 of today's Herald Tribune, they talk about people power on the web, users, not firms. Drive new services.
That's
so
right.
Basically, they're suggesting that yesterday's decision by the Supreme Court in favor of the Hollywood copyright cartels is that they may have won the battle, but in so doing, they've conceded the war.
Yeah, they're losing the war. And, you know, the Frick Show, we try to make all the connections through the various markets. And these companies, the labels, the media industry, they rely on huge revenue from selling these copyrights. The copyright business. Now, if the copyright business is going to be overturned and usurped by this new non-copyright model, that means that these stocks are hugely overvalued. And people who are buying these stocks are going to be losing money. You know,
yeah.
On this show, we talk about the big picture in terms of the global money scene as well. That's why it's called Le Frick Show, which is French for the money.
Mm-hmm.
So buying stock in some of these companies could be a sure way to
lose money.
You know, well, we also say that one winner going forward is that as these big companies blow up because they no longer get the revenue stream that they once had because they're chasing outdated monopoly models.
Yeah.
You know,
well,
we're saying as an alternative, buy gold. You know, we mentioned that on this show, and we can talk about that at some point, maybe an hour or two, a little bit about gold or not. But I'll tell you one thing that looks scary. I'll tell you a stock that looks scary, and let me mention that I do not own. Have not owned and will not own this stock in the near future. I make
dear,
that disclaimer.
What is it?
Starbucks.
Oh, Starbucks, yes.
And frightening.
Why? Tell me.
It's frightening. I'll tell you why. Because here's a big column in the Guardian newspaper, a fine publication out of the UK. And this writer, who's a novelist and journalist, Cameron Duedo.
Duedo.
Okay.
Uh-huh. It's in the comment and analysis section today of The Guardian. Okay.
Yeah. He makes a very good point because Africa is on the lips of everyone these days.
Uh-huh.
Because you've got Bob Geldof, who's trying to do the Live 8 show to help the Africans by giving them a handout.
And help his share price of 10 Ops Communications.
And help the share price of his 10 Ops Communications company go higher. Uh-huh. You know, but what this guy is saying, you know, what the Africans need to do is they need to create their own cartels.
Yeah.
Because they're looking at OPEC.
Mm-hmm.
And they say, look, before OPEC got active, the price of oil was $3 a barrel.
Yeah.
OPEC got their ass in gear, and they were able to, via cartel, become a huge global force economically, and they wield incredible power. And it's all because of the cartel. And what he's saying is that in Africa, there's a way that the African countries can create their own cartel with the second most publicly traded commodity in the world, right behind oil.
What is it? It's the coffee bean.
That's right.
Yeah.
Coffee is the second most popular, actively traded commodity in the world, right behind oil.
Yeah.
And they're saying that the countries in Africa, they simply could band together and create a coffee cartel.
That's what they should do. Instead of selling it for like a 1 cent of a pound to Starbucks, who then sells it on for like $5 a cup.
Yeah, exactly.
They're saying that they should create their own Starbucks.
African countries must band together and form cartels that lay aside money to acquire the means of adding value to their raw materials before export.
Yeah.
So the roasting.
Yeah, well, the problem is America has created all these Rajas. You know, the British Empire did that in India famously. They ruled India by paying off a bunch of leading Indians who kept the Indians under control. Now, this is the same thing that America does in Africa, is they pay like a dictator of Nigeria and allows them to steal their oil. The same thing here. They pay off some guy, one African guy who's paid like $100,000 a year, and keeps the others from banding together.
Well, it also applies to another commodity that's actively traded.
What's that?
Cocoa. For chocolate.
Oh, I was thinking coca.
No. If Ghana and its neighbor Ivory Coast, say, could pull chocolates for export instead of selling cocoa beans, inviting Nigeria, Equatorial Guinea, Cameroon to join, all could vastly increase their earnings. Kenya, Tanzania, Ethiopia, Uganda could similarly band together, place processed coffee in Western supermarkets. Ghana, South Africa could cooperate to export gold jewelry instead of gold bullion. Sierra Leone, Ghana, Botswana, South Africa could buy technology to challenge the diamond polishers of Antwerp. You see?
Yeah. Well, they should do. But the problem, what's the problem? Why aren't they doing it?
Because the Western countries have installed all these homicidal dictators to make sure that the economy is hugely unstable.
Yeah, plus they use a lot of child labor, like to pick the coffee beans there.
They say Africa contributes less than 3% of world trade, but that's because they don't do any of the polishing of the diamonds, the processing of the coffee, and the processing of the cocoa before it leaves, you see?
Mm-hmm.
If that's just taken on world trade. Now, if you were to take into account the actual volume of raw materials shipped to the West by Africa, plus the huge tonnages with which African products enrich Western shipping companies, freight handlers, and insurance brokers, it would be realized that the West owes Africa a great deal of money.
Yeah, bloody hell they do.
You see? You see what I'm saying? So Africa, the problems are not that Bob Geldof needs to forgive a little bit of their debt so that they have the wherewithal to buy more weapons.
Yeah.
Because at the same time that they're forgiving debt, they're increasing weapons shipments and sales by quadrupling them. That's not about that. It's about Africans getting together and fighting fire with fire. You know, they should create their own cartels to fight the U.S. cartels. I mean, the U.S. built itself as a freedom and democracy, but it's really a cartel. That's a copyright cartel.
Mm-hmm.
It's a patent cartel through genetically modified seeds.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the freedom and democracy thing is just a brand image.
Yeah.
But when you scratch the brand, you find it's a cartel, monopolist. And it's been well hidden for many, many years, but under George Bush, it's becoming very exposed. People are understanding what's going on. It's just he's not that he's that incompetent. It's that he's at the wrong place at the wrong time because the world suddenly has gone globalized in a way that the U.S. can't possibly keep up because they're trying to defend themselves against the inevitable tide of globalization, which they can't do with the way that they're doing it by putting up higher and higher walls, you know, like Israel putting up this big wall.
Yeah.
That's going to keep ideas out. You know, you can't keep ideas out with a big wall.
No.
You know, China, they had a big wall.
No, in fact.
And they now, to get competitive, they're taking the wall down. You see, China has seen the light.
Yeah, they're
taking
selling
down the wall.
To the American
They're selling
tourists.
Bits of the wall on eBay. The Berlin Wall, they're selling it on eBay.
Yeah, that's You're already
You're selling walls
up.
On eBay.
Yeah.
And Israel's putting up a wall. They're going the wrong way.
Oh, that's a good idea. I'm going to Palestine and taking some of that wall and selling it on
eBay.
Yeah.
I'm sure they'd love to see
it. It's
do
a better
that.
Idea.
By the way, the phone number in the studio is 0142-541-659 if you want to join in with a comment or you want to send us an email. You're a little shy, don't want to get on the radio, afraid to get your face blown off. No problem. Send us an email at lefrickshow@gmail.com.
And I'm going to go check it on this next song. Well, you know, we have another Creative Commons public domain song coming up, and it's from none other than David Byrne.
So David Byrne, he's a big copyright success story. He's gone to the other side, the dark side, the Creative Commons side. The light side, I should say. He's following the light.
Yeah.
Taking the walls down, and he's going to be sharing his music in a way that enriches everybody.
Enriches culture. In fact,
you can't enrich yourself by impoverishing others. You cannot enrich yourself by impoverishing others, okay?
Because it's bad karma.
You can only enrich yourself by enriching the community, as we see with Linux and open source and the software movement of this. And there's killing Microsoft, because Microsoft's all about the walls, digital rights management, and they're shooting themselves in the head. The U.S.? It's just, I'm sorry, but the U.S. policies are wrong. They're losing this war in Iraq, and the U.S. economy is teetering on disaster. That's why I'm buying gold. And it's just a fact. It's not really a political statement. I can politicize that statement and say, oh, you know, these people are immoral and they're unethical and they have what's coming to them. But I'm not going to say that. I'm just going to say they're losing and I'm buying gold. That's the succinct version of what I have to say on Le Frick Show. Freaking it.
Yeah.
And when we come back, we're going to talk about the guy we saw in Pigalle on our way here who had his dick hanging out of his pants. So don't go away. There's plenty more Le Frick Show coming your way.
You're not a tourist, you're not quite a local, but you still want to know what's going on in Paris. Log on to Life in France with expatica.com. Daily French news in English, essential expat information, what's on guide and much more. Visit expatica.com. News and information for expats in France.
Don't touch that dial or I'll bite you. You're listening to Paris Live Radio.
changing, but forever you're remaining. You have time, cause you will live forever. Every corner line and feature, never age and never die. In my sleep and in my dreams at night. Close to me, a strange attraction with your beauty and your passion. You are part and art will never change. Take me away, take me away, take me away, take me away.
Love is in the air. Hey, don't touch that dial. You're listening to Le Frick Show, Paris Live Radio. My name is Max Kaiser. I'm here with Stacey Herbert. That was Gilberto Gil with Oslodum. Am I saying that right? Oslodum.
Oslodum.
Oslodum. Before that, we heard David Byrne.
My Fair Lady.
And the great thing about those music selections are that they are unencumbered by copyright protection.
Yay!
You can send that to your friends. You can send this show to your friend via the email, and you will have no copyright problems. There'll be no copyright police from Microsoft or the U.S. government suing you for sharing this music, because there's no copyright. It's under the Creative Commons copyright, which allows you to share this music freely.
Yes.
This is the new alternative copyright system that's going to put the big skull-crushing dent into the monopolists out there. They're trying to build walls around our culture, around our freedom. Tear down that wall!
And actually, those artists...
Let's reanimate Reagan using the dog reanimation technology. Get Reagan to stand up and say, tear down that wall! And then put him back to sleep. That's all you need him to say. Tear down that wall! And put him back to sleep. Go back to sleep now.
Yeah, well, those artists there, David Byrne and Gilberto Gil, they encourage you to actually download those.
Yeah.
And rip and mash them and do whatever you want with them. Create your own song out of them.
And David Bowie has the same kind of thing on his website.
Yes, he does. So
and we do the same thing here.
Yeah, you can mix and mash us.
Mix and mash us. It's like a whole Karma Sutra of sound.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. So we were talking about the coffee cartel emerging in Africa and why that's going to kill Starbucks stock if it ever gets going. Because, you know, Starbucks makes a huge spread on the price of coffee beans that they get from dirt cheap from these slave laborers in Africa.
Yeah.
And then they do their own little marketing and processing, and they sell it for thousands of percentage profits.
Okay? Well, I tell you, if the cartels don't kill them, then the global warming due to the neoliberal business model will. Because we know that the world is turning into a desert, isn't it?
You can't grow coffee in a desert?
Well, the number two producer of coffee is Vietnam. And apparently they've had record drought never before seen. And that I don't know when they're supposed to pick their coffee, but apparently it's completely devastated.
So the price of coffee is going to skyrocket.
Yeah,
perhaps by the end of the year. No, I think that Howard Schultz over there at Starbucks said he sold forward coffee futures.
Yeah, so he doesn't. This year is okay for him.
Yeah. But one more year of drought. Starbucks is going at 5. Where's it now? 50? 52? It's going to 5. Because their margins are going to get crushed. It's trading at like 60 times earnings. You know, the profit's going to get crushed. Starbucks is going to get crushed. It's going to be the dot-com crush of the year, of this year, next year, 2006. Excuse me. Oh, my God. I'm being reanimated. Yeah, they got the stock's going to crash. Of course, if you want to make money on a stock crashing, all you have to do is buy the put. Or sell the stock short. Call your broker about that. If you need a broker, we suggest you call this dude in Rhode Island, Anthony Michael Click at AMK Consulting Group. He'll help you sell Starbucks short.
He's not a broker. He's a business consultant. Once your company is collapsing, he will rescue your company.
Yeah, okay. Well, we'll find a broker to help us. If you're a broker and you want to get some advertising, give me a call right now or send me an email at lefrickshow@gmail.com. Speaking of email, darling, I know you're anxious to jump into the next story. You're holding up a newspaper there. You got your eyes.
No. You go and tell us what somebody sent us an email from Orange County,
California.
Yeah.
That's pretty. They're listening to the show there.
Yeah.
There's some.
I wonder if they're in the OC.
George and John?
This is the OC.
George and Jan? George and John.
George and John.
That sounds like the Beatles are getting back together again. John's dead, though.
Well, reanimate him.
We're going to reanimate John. We're going to start the Beatles.
Maybe
right here
he
at Paris Live Radio.
Well, George is dead, too.
Oh, my God. These two are communicating to us telekinetically from the great beyond. They're going to be reanimated. The Beatles are going to get back together finally. It's going to be Bob Geldof is going to have to compete with the Beatles. That'll be the biggest show at the reanimated Beatles. It's no tribute band. It's the real thing.
I'll buy tickets. I'll pay full price.
And no one will notice that, that Ringo is nobody noticed that he died already.
He did not.
No, he's alive.
Yeah, he is.
Who was the fourth Beatle?
Paul McCartney.
Oh, yeah. He's doing the Live Aid thing.
Is he?
He died. He died 5 years ago.
Oh, yeah.
They need to reanimate Paul McCartney.
Yeah.
John dead does more business than Paul living.
Exactly.
You know what I'm saying? That's how bad Paul is. He's joining the Bob Geldof circus.
Something went horribly wrong for him.
He married into wealth. He's an aristocrat now. He, John Lennon was kind of like with the people a little bit. You know, he made tons of money, of course, and he hung out with Elvis a little bit. But he was nevertheless had roots with the people.
Mm-hmm.
And Paul McCartney's gone totally aristocratic. He married that millionaire and heiress,
Linda Eastman.
And, you know, he's doing his Live Aid scandal. Live Aid scandal, it's a scandal. Don't support it. It's his farce because it supports the very model that causes the problems to begin with. If they want to really do something, they got to reverse the model. They got to reverse the neoliberal model. There, I said it. So anyway,
again,
we got this email from Orange County, George and John. Dear Max, I like the show. I have listened from the beginning. That's interesting. So he's listened to all 57 hours of this show.
Wow.
The telethon.
Wow.
But I'm confused as to why you would recommend an ETF, which is a closed-end fund, such as the shaky structure of GLD, the gold ETF, electronically traded fund,
uh-huh.
ETF.
Okay.
The bullion in that fund is not insured. And trying to pinpoint where all the bullion is at any given time would be impossible, according to John and George of Orange County.
They've Sounds like their, a good argument. So what's
argument.
Your answer, Max Kaiser, ratings riser? Do you have an answer for that, or are you going to need to reanimate yourself?
I'm going to take a look at this. I'm going to take a closer look. They may have opened my eyes to something that I haven't fully vetted.
Mm-hmm.
And because why? I used to be a stockbroker, and, you know, it's all about getting the sale and vetting the thing later. I'll say that. But since I don't currently have a stockbroker license, I can confide with you as to the ways and means of the stockbroker business.
Uh-huh.
Very, you know, if you read the prospectus, this is something you don't do on Wall Street.
No.
You know, there's a saying that if hookers carried prospectuses, nobody would get laid.
Uh-huh.
You know, that's like, we don't read the prospectus. Just like in Hollywood, they don't read the scripts, do they?
No.
They just produce the movies.
Do
you read the scripts?
No.
Do you think I've read the prospectus on the gold? No, of course not. I like the sound of it. I recommend it because
then you might be turned off.
I'm a neoliberal.
This guy's actually read the prospectus, and then he found that this gold ETF is actually a nasty prostitute.
All right, I'm selling my gold. Get my broker on the phone. I'm getting out of this thing. It's too much risk. I'm getting out of it. Get Paul Maron on the phone, my new broker. Okay, now you're holding up a newspaper over
there. No.
You're just fanning yourself?
Yeah, I'm fanning myself. It's pretty hot down in this Moulin Rouge dungeon.
Oh, yeah.
And I'm still shocked by that man in Pigalle.
Yeah, we were walking from the Pigalle Metro down to the radio station here, Paris Live Radio, and one of these guys sleeping on the bench had his dick hanging out of his trousers.
And it was...
It just came right over the bench. Standing to attention.
That's
right. That's right. It was standing at attention. He had the morning wood.
It was the most shocking thing I have ever
seen. See, this is the thing about the male gender. You can be dead drunk, passed out on the street, and you can still get a hard-on. You know? That's the thing about a male gender. They just keep going. They keep fighting. The semen must keep fighting.
But it was like he had fought for the glory. It was like he had pulled it out of his zipper because it was just sticking out. The trousers were buttoned up.
It
was just the zipper was down. And
my theory is that some point in the last 6 or 7 hours, he had to take a pee. And as he took his pee, he passed out drunk, and he left his tackle dangling.
Yeah.
And he fell asleep. He went unconscious. But then the semen, mind of the collective semen, took over, and they marshaled the organ to stand at attention and to seek greater glory.
Well, it was pretty glorious, I have to say.
All the semen in this guy want to escape. Uh-huh. They say, we got a bad, this guy's a loser. We need to jump out of this guy into something new.
But it was very kind of New York pre-Disney.
Yeah, it was.
Because it was like nobody noticed. Nobody seemed to really care.
No, that's what's really great about Pigalle. It's like New York 1975.
Yeah.
It's before Disney took over and turned it into one big Disneyland. Uh-huh. Antiseptic, chrome and plastic, nightmarish, mega Starbucks.
And everybody has their private parts tucked away.
And yeah, everyone's tucked in. You know, here in Pigalle, it's let it rip, baby. Let it all hang out. That's the way we like it, raw.
It's a good education.
And so, you know,
it's nothing like that movie by Nicole Kidman.
Oh, Moulin Rouge?
Yeah. Oh, you see, she's doing another movie, another musical with Jennifer Lopez.
Oh, really?
And it's based around, I guess, World War II. Oh. She and Jenny are playing two Americans over here. Who were cabaret singers,
mm-hmm.
kind of like, I guess, Marlena Dietrich used to do that too, huh?
Did they get it on, those two?
They haven't started filming yet.
All right.
I just noticed this.
It's not a lesbian thing?
I noticed this in the IMDb news.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. IMDb.com for all of your movie information.
IMDb.
I'm so happy we played those Creative Commons songs because we're giving the whole Creative Commons thing a boost.
Yeah, but we're also finally able to... transmit this via our podcast because, you know, we have many Americans who aren't up at 2 in the morning
right.
to listen to our show live.
Right.
So they're demanding to hear this via our podcast, but we're not able to transmit it because of the copyright cartels.
Yeah, the copyright chains. We're all escaping the copyright chains. We're escaping the ghetto, the copyright ghetto.
Yeah.
And we have this in common with our brothers and sisters around the globe, whether they're trying to escape the neoliberal model.
We're going to start tacking up and counting the
Speaking
number
of neoliberals,
times you say neoliberal.
John Snow, the crackhead Snow, John Crackhead Snow, says oil prices are hurting the economy.
Oh.
Duh!
Well, they don't, you know, that's so reality-based. Yeah. You know, I know they like to be fantasy-based.
Here's something I love this story. Bogus analysis led to the terror alert of December of 2003.
Oh,
CIA experts saw a secret code on Al Jazeera that wasn't there.
That one is hysterical. What's the word for it? Because they saw numbers, apparently, which they translated to be to mean numbers of flights.
So, yeah, stenography suspected.
Remember, yep. and how much money are they going to give to British Airways and Air France? Remember, they kept on, they canceled like 15 flights. And, of course, it cost hundreds of millions of dollars.
No, they gave them nothing. CIA analysts mistakenly thought they discovered the motherload of secret Al-Qaeda messages. They thought they had found the secret messages on Al Jazeera, the Arabic language television news channel, hidden in the moving text at the bottom of the screen, known as the crawl, where news headlines are summarized. Let me tell you something, y'all. Let's talk about this, the crawl at the bottom of your screen, okay?
Yeah.
You want to see some terrorism? You want to see some nightmarish terrorism? Turn on CNBC right now. Turn on CNBC Europe right now. Underneath the big picture of the talking, yakking, well-polished white people, you'll see a crawl of prices, the ticker tape. And you'll see ticker tape prices for things like Exxon, British Petroleum, Texaco, Chevron, Microsoft, Coca-Cola. Okay, the message there is neoliberal terrorism. There's your neoliberal terrorism. There's your terrorist alert right there on the crawl of CNBC. They're doing more damage than Al Jazeera ever will do, ever has done, or ever could do. It's right happening there at CNBC. That's the nexus of the terrorist network. That guy, that English guy in CNBC Europe with the big, huge teeth. Quick.
Oh, I thought he was American.
What's his name?
I don't know
Quest.
His name. I can't remember.
Richard Quest.
Yeah, Richard Quest.
That guy. He's obviously.
Hey, yeah. That's how he sounds. Yeah.
Hi, I'm Richard Quest. Welcome to Ghettoonomics. Hi, we're killing lots of Iraqis. And we're making lots of money. Yeah, stay tuned to CNBC because we're murderers. Yeah.
Speaking of killing Iraqis, do you have that quote from Woody Allen yesterday speaking in Der Spiegel? The German magazine.
Yeah, Woody Allen.
He was asked what he thought of 9/11 and whether or not it inspired any of his work or whether he was going to do any work about it because, you know, he is a famous New Yorker.
A New York Jew. A famous New York Jew. Drudge Report. Okay, Woody Allen's very well known in Europe, obviously. They love him in Europe.
They love him in France.
He's considered an auteur.
Yes, and they like auteurs.
Yeah, and he's a hero. He's an American hero because he's an independent film hero. He's made very funny films. He's made very poignant films. He's a great filmmaker.
Mm-hmm.
And he's an American artist, of which there are very few you can put in that category of high achievement in art because America is basically about business. But anyway, he says, as a filmmaker, he's not interested in 9/11. Quote, it's too small. History overwhelms it, he tells Der Spiegel. He goes on to say that the history of the world is like, he kills me, I kill him, only with different cosmetics and different castings. So, in 2001, some fanatics killed some Americans. And now some Americans are killing some Iraqis. Okay? He points to some symmetry there.
He's speaking the truth.
That in 9/11, you had some heinous crimes committed, and then you had there's some heinous crimes being committed in Iraq right now.
Yeah.
Shock and awe, which was the beginning, opening salvo of this heinous crime in Iraq, was meant to demonstrate to the world that Americans could be...
Kill more people,
more savage, be more sadistic.
Yeah.
Because they felt that 9/11, you know, they were being trumped in the sadism market. And he goes on to say in Tuesday's... He goes on to say, and this was quoted in the New York Post, quote, and in my childhood, some Nazis killed Jews, and now some Jewish people and some Palestinians are killing each other. Political questions, if you go back thousands of years, are ephemeral, not important. History is the same thing over and over again. So, again, now he's bringing in another taboo subject as far as, you know, American culture is concerned. The Jewish
Israel.
Population, you know, they don't talk about Israel. They don't talk about the Nazis, really, because it's a very touchy subject.
Yeah.
But, you know, so Woody Allen, who's a respected filmmaker, is making, again, an analogy to what's happening with Palestinians are being attacked from their neighbor, Israel.
Yeah.
And he's saying it's not unlike Nazis attacking the Jews during the 1940s.
Yeah.
So,
well,
the
last New Yorker to speak so bravely out about world politics was John Lennon, you know, the guy from Orange County, reanimated in Orange County.
Really?
Yeah, and look what happened to him. So, you know, I guess he should watch his back. Well, I hope he doesn't live in the Dakota building as well.
I think we're entering a period of reflection in America, where America starts to reflect a little bit. Because after 9/11, he had that huge surge of patriotism. And it was very, knee-jerk patriotism.
Mm-hmm.
Like, there was this huge confusion, huge fear. So you pull patriotism out of the bag, and you wave the flag, and you hope it all goes away.
Yeah.
Now, a couple of years later, 3 years later, people are realizing that, you know what? That's not working. We actually have to reflect on what exactly happened pre 9/11. Exactly why did that happen? And what role did America play in that? Because to say simply that America had no part in it, that everyone in those towers was completely innocent, is to set yourself up to be in isolation from the rest of the world, because you're talking in a way that doesn't make any sense to the human experience. Nobody is pure white. Nobody is pure black. Everyone is a mix of right and wrong, and this is the human experience. But America took the route of being, we're above reproach, we're innocent, we are closer to God than anyone else. They took a theocratic approach in Washington.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I mean, you've got a guy in Washington now, and we can get into this. The Honorable Senator Rick Santorum.
Yes, from Pennsylvania.
This guy is a theocratic nightmare.
Yeah, well, he's about to be ousted, though, apparently, in the next...
Ousted? He should be flayed. He should be hung. He's a nightmare.
Yeah.
We're going to talk a little bit about this guy, but I don't know if we're finished with the Woody Allen story. If you want to comment on this Woody Allen, I mean, we have a lot of French people here who love Woody Allen. They love his work. We have a lot of Americans here.
Yeah.
In Paris, according to one study, there are 750,000 Americans. Or, I shouldn't. No, it's wrong.
750,000 English speakers.
English speakers.
That includes Australian au pairs. And Irish bar workers
living in Paris. 750,000 English speakers living in Paris. Americans, British, Australian.
Uh-huh.
And of course, there are a lot of French people who are fluent in English. And they might have some thoughts about this Woody Allen story. If you do, send us your comment to Le Fric Show. That's F-R-I-C, Le Fric Show. @gmail.com. And then during the next little song and commercial break, we'll run over to the computer, we'll grab your email, and we'll discuss it like we discussed the email from our friends in Orange County, California. And thank you very much.
And we'll come back with an update on that tomorrow, because Max is going to check out that prospectus finally.
Yeah, I'm actually going to read the prospectus.
He's going to try to take his money out.
I'm liquidating GLD. I'm moving. I'm buying the bullion, and I'm going to start storing it in my house.
That's a good idea.
Yeah. No, it's not a good idea.
Oh, no? Why? Because
you're there, and you're going to be like clipping it. I know you'll be clipping my gold coins. I'll look in there and they'll be gone.
Me. So, did you see the story in the FT? I know you wanted to talk about the FT, so here.
Yeah.
Insurers sound the alarm on climate change. You know, yesterday, Italy just issued a big health alert that it's so hot there. It's 97 degrees that they said it's going to be worse than 2003 and more people might die than in 2003 when they said that 20,000 Italians died in the heat wave. Anyway, insurers are now sounding the alarm on climate change. The worldwide cost of storms expected to become more frequent owing to climate change is likely to rise by 2/3 in Britain, according to the Association of British Insurers. And that is not looking good. Making the right decisions based on assessments of costs of climate change will ensure lower costs for the public in the future. So separately, a poll carried out across Europe by the market research group TNS found that 7 out of 10 people thought governments would take serious action on the environment only if there were a catastrophe caused by human actions in changing climate change.
The catastrophe model.
Yeah.
People don't believe it unless there's a catastrophe.
Yeah. Well, that's kind of true. You know?
Yeah, people are short-term.
I often do that.
Short-term oriented. Very short-term oriented. They want instant gratification. If they see a catastrophe, they'll act.
Yeah.
But the idea of thinking ahead 5, 10, 15, 20, 100 years even, which is what you need to think in terms of the climate change problem, people say, I don't want to be bothered. I'm only thinking about the next week.
Well, is it part of the problem of the insurance industry as well? They created this moral hazard? Everybody thinks, oh, well, I've got insurance.
Yeah, well, the insurance industry is, you make a good point. They give people the sense that their actions will be insured and that economically they're protected. So that a company like Exxon, who's an environmental terrorist, they take out insurance from the insurance company to protect them against lawsuits, to protect them their property against climate change and flooding. They have these catastrophe bonds that pay off if there's an environmental catastrophe, for example.
Mm-hmm.
But unfortunately, what happens is the Earth, which is collateralizing the world economy, the Earth services, which provide us with our daily sustenance is no longer able to do so. So when you remove the collateral and you, all you have left is the insurance, you're left in a bit of a bind, aren't you?
It seems that way.
Because what you can't eat, you can't breathe, there's no water to drink. So who do you complain to? You take your insurance policy, you go down to Swiss Re Insurance and say, wait a minute, I'm insured against this. Pay off. And they're like, sorry, mate, we're out of business because there's no more collateral. We've sold the earth forward in the insurance industry by thousands of percentages of times. And so this is the end game. So it's a false sense of security provided by the insurance industry. And now they're warning that, in fact, global warming is something that they're no longer be able to insure.
And speaking of...
There's no amount of money to insure it.
No.
They can't keep hiding the fact that the globe's ability to sustain life is deteriorating quickly, faster than they're able to create fake money to insure it. How fast it's happening.
Faster than they're able to reanimate themselves.
They can't reanimate themselves.
This is why they're pushing up the trials on this reanimation to humans next year.
Yeah, they're going
to
put themselves
in a spaceship. Seems awfully early to be doing that.
They want to put themselves in a spaceship, blast off to another planet, reanimate themselves, and start all over again with the neoliberal model. And it won't work that time either.
No.
It'll never work. It doesn't work because you're producing more output of waste than you are output of sustainable growth. And the U.S. is critical of Europe. You know, John Crackhead Snow, again, was saying Europe's got to grow faster. It's not about Europe growing faster. It's about the U.S. polluting less. Europe pollutes less than America. Therefore, it's a model to be emulated.
Exactly.
The U.S. should be emulating Europe, not the other way around.
Yeah.
Okay, Dominique de Villepin in France understands that. Sarkozy
doesn't.
Sarkozy's trying to mimic the Americans and produce an unsustainable problem.
Just as that model is failing. It's like, why chase a failing model?
Yeah, exactly. Which is what they want to do. This is why the French voted no. This is why the Dutch voted no. Okay, if you're listening to us from Orange County, California, and you heard about the big no, probably the way the press spun it in Los Angeles was that it was anti-Jewish sentiment.
Mm-hmm.
Because you have people down in the South who voted no who are xenophobic. But that's a minority.
Bridget Bardot. That's just Bridget
Bardot.
The big
story is that they're rejecting the neoliberal model. America, near Orange County. Send us an email, lefrickshow@gmail.com. We'll be back with a lot more show right after this.
From the heart of Paris, tune in to Paris Live Radio.
Pascal, let's... Fajon. And Pep, be careful.
Stop! You need Tower International, the quality movers with English-speaking staff. Your personal move counselor will take care of you from door to door and country to country. With 30 years experience, there'll be none of this. Just peace of mind for you and your family. Call us on 01-39-130941 or go to towermovers.com. Tower International, the quality moving company.
The Connection is an international newsstand now. Get the best English language newspaper in France from newsagents across the country. It's got all your French news and much, much more. The Connection can guide you through the health, property and finance issues that affect you living in France. But that's not all. Look out for The Connection jobs. Jobs all over France for English speakers. Find The Connection at newsagents now or subscribe at www.connectionfrance.com. Get connected to France. Get The Connection.
.11:01 in Paris. This is Le Frick Show on Paris Live Radio. My name is Max Kaiser. I'm here with Stacey Herbert. We're here every morning at this time for 2 hours bringing you all the news of the world and the politics and everything else. Served up to you like a big fat smorgasbord. Take it down slowly. Chew every syllable. And with a little red wine, you have yourself a nice repast. Meal. Bread. Baguettes. Things like that nature. I'm looking over to Stacey Herbert right now. She's focusing intently on something from the Financial Times this morning.
And I'm laughing, aren't I? Yeah. This is pretty scary. The Financial Times has this headline, "A World Economy Living Dangerously." Now, speaking of chasing this neoliberal model as it collapses. So the Bank of International Settlements, which is the central bank's central bank, right? They have issued their 75th annual report, in which the impression it conveys is of a world economy pumped up on a high-octane mix of public and private debt in the industrialized economies careering towards a brick wall.
That's nice. That's a nice image. Wow.
And in it, they actually say, speaking of waiting for disasters before you start cleaning up, and this is Alan Greenspan's model. He thinks this is a good way to run an economy. Yeah. It says that if what needs to be done to resolve external imbalances is reasonably clear, it seems clear as well that much of it is simply not going to happen in the near term. So they're saying that of immediate concern in the world are the lax budgetary policies, notably in the United States, official interest rates worldwide that are near zero in real term, rigged exchange rates, notably in Asia, an absence of structural economic reforms, especially in the Eurozone, and most importantly, a U.S. external account which is on an unsustainable trajectory.
Well, let's focus on one thing. Zero interest rates.
Yes, that's the most interesting to me, because I don't understand why all the central bankers are being punished for not making them even less than zero.
The problems that we have today, my friends, is not that the world suffers from a lack of money and a lack of aid. The problems all stem from the fact that there is too much money. Too much credit. It's too easy to borrow large sums from various corrupt banks, leading to influence peddling and market manipulation. This is the main problem. How did it get to be this way? There is a man. He is in Washington. He is an unelected public official. He is the biggest financial terrorist that's ever lived. He is Alan Greenspan.
He loves making money.
Has kept interest rates too low, which has created this huge tsunami of cash, which is causing untold damage to various world economy, just like the tsunami did in the Indian Ocean. Think of that. Think of the tsunami, what it did to those poor people in Banda Aceh. This is the tsunami of cash unleashed on the world economy because this idiot in Washington, Alan Greenspan, refuses to raise interest rates commensurate with the environmental risk and reward picture, because, of course, he's a Ayn Rand reading, Adam Smith, Bible-thumping, neoliberal, neocon a-hole. Let me put it to you that way.
You tell it like it is.
Back in 1996. The record is clear on this, Stacey Herbert. Let the record show that in 1996, during his famous irrational exuberance speech.
Yes, we all know that one.
He had it within his remit to clean up that mess simply.
Well, this is the dot-com bubble.
Yeah.
NASDAQ was what? What was it at?
5,000. 5,000. But when he talked, it was at 3,600, 3,700. He said that it was irrationally exuberant.
Okay.
He could have stepped in and done something about it. He did not do. He did nothing. He let this incredible bubble percolate to this enormous enormity.
What could he have done?
He could have raised, of course he could have raised interest rates. But more importantly and more specifically, it's well within the remit of the Fed to raise margin rates, which is the rate that people are charged to borrow money to speculate. The rate at which investment banks and brokers lend money to their customers to speculate, the so-called margin rate, can be raised independently of the discount rate or the overall rate that the Fed is famously tooling around every quarter, every month during their Federal Open Market Committee meetings.
Okay.
Now, by raising the rate of speculative margin money loans, he could have reined in.
What is the rate?
It's usually pegged to some multiple of the discount rate.
Okay.
But you can divorce that and say instead of it being 1% or 2% above the discount rate, it should be 3% or 4% above the discount rate. This would immediately taken some air out of the speculative bubble. But he didn't do that. Why? Because he's a lackey for the central banks, and the central banks make huge monies making loans to the speculators who were gunning the NASDAQ to this unsustainable bubble levels. Okay, then the bubble popped, and Alan Greenspan said, well, our job is not to manage the bubble. So it's asymmetric. It's asymmetric because when the bubble burst, he did, in fact, lower interest rates quite aggressively, which, according to him, because he's not there to fine-tune the economy, he would have not done that either. But you see, he's asymmetric in his approach because when the event occurred, he steps in before the event, clearly understanding what the event about to happen was going to happen. He did nothing. So it's like six of one, half a dozen of the other. Heads I win, tails you lose. It's like he's playing both sides, talking out of both sides of his mouth. He's duplicitous.
I thought you were going to say talking out of both sides of his bottom.
he's a liar, you know, and so anyway, what happened is you think the NASDAQ bubble burst.
Yep.
Now, what happened to all
that cash?
That cash.
I know where it went.
Yeah. It went into real estate. It went into the housing market. Mm-hmm. It went into fueling Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac and all these pseudo-intermediary banks who created all of these new mortgage products to let people have interest-only loans. Okay, mm-hmm. To our listeners in Orange County, you know what I'm talking about. Orange County real estate has skyrocketed because people are speculating with interest-only loans or negative equity loans, reverse amortization loans. These are toxic weapons of mass financial destruction. These are toxic banking instruments. These are the equivalent of nuclear dust settling in the veins of your bank account. You don't want this stuff anywhere near your fiscal financial health because it'll kill you, as it is killing people who are now finally declaring huge numbers of bankruptcies. There's a wave of bankruptcies coming in the UK.
Their housing bubble started a little bit before America's.
In Massachusetts, the housing bubble crashed by 11% last month.
That's a huge drop. The British bubbles, they're saying they're all up in arms because it's like it's crashing and it only went down 2% in the last year. So you're saying that in Massachusetts, it's gone down 11% in the last month.
The bubble is crashing again, just like NASDAQ crashed, because Greenspan refuses to step up and be responsible and to do what he has to do, which is to manage the interest rate scenario. He's an absolute failure as a central banker. He will go down in history as the worst central banker America's ever had, because he's the guy whose watch he was on the watch during the time.
There's no air down here, is there?
I'm running out of air again. There's no oxygen.
The last half hour is always hard.
Oxygen is depleted.
Anyway,
rapidly.
But Alan Greenspan famously said he doesn't manage bubbles, does he? He wipes up after it.
Yeah, well, that's a bogus statement, because not only is he not true, he's trying to micro and macro manage both, you know, one side of the bubble, one leg of the bubble, but not the other. So he's just lying, plainly lying. And you got this huge real estate bubble that's created. It's a global real estate bubble. And now it's to the point where, you know, long-term interest rates are not going up, even though he's raising short-term interest rates belatedly, trying to curb the speculation, this bubble. And he calls that a conundrum.
Uh-huh.
He doesn't even know what he's doing anymore.
So the yield is completely flat.
You got a flat yield curve. The short and long-term rates are roughly the same. But even the Financial Times today said, you know, when Alan Greenspan comes out and says, I have no idea what I'm doing, which is what's going on, which is what he said.
The first time in 18 years,
you know, he has no idea what he's doing.
He's finally confessed just as he's about to leave the job.
I didn't really know what I was doing. It was a joke. I don't know what I'm doing.
I can't believe I got away with it for 18 years.
And the result is huge financial, too much money. The problem is you got this too much money chasing too few assets, which creates huge dislocations. And you've got the story that we were going to talk about is in Italy, because this plays into that Italian story.
Yes, and that's going to come up after the next.
Well, the next thing is not for a while, isn't it?
This thing flashes through. Yeah, this is interesting. It's an interesting story. Just because money is tight doesn't mean you can't have the good life. So in Italy, you remember last year, 2 years ago? When did we go on to the euro? But when we introduced the euro, apparently a lot of the restaurants in Italy doubled their prices because they thought people wouldn't notice, really. But everybody did notice because, of course, the economy isn't very good. So since the introduction of the euro, the cost of eating out has soared. Some people estimate that prices are twice as high as they used to be, while salaries have largely remained unchanged. Italians, who cannot afford to dine out as they once used to, are now taking matters into their own hands and patronizing fedates. These are DIY restaurants. So people are opening up restaurants in their own homes. So they're sending out text messages inviting people they know to come over to dinner, and up to 40 people. And as you leave, you pay the chef. Mm-hmm. So you have to text message before you go. So the chef buys the ingredients according to the number of people coming.
Mm-hmm.
And now there's a big crackdown because it's sotto banco, under the table.
Mm-hmm.
So the tax receipts aren't coming in because people are no longer frequenting restaurants. They're frequenting their friends' houses and paying for it.
Black market.
It's a black market in dining experience.
Exactly. do it yourself restaurants in Italy. Because, in other words, the point we're making, the connection that we're making here is that if you manipulate prices to the point where they make no economic sense, people just take economic matters into their own hands.
This is like the file swapping.
Yeah, file swapping. You know, they had the cartel and the labels. People took matters into their own hands, and they swapped music back and forth. iPod introduced a low-cost alternative, but that wasn't good enough for these greedy whores in Hollywood. So they took everybody to court. Now they're outlawing, you know, swapping of digital material. But there's going to be a new market that'll emerge that'll put those people under the table. They're building walls.
Mm-hmm.
The instinct for humanity is to take walls down. Walls are not natural. You know, walls are the attempt to create private property schemes, which is highly unnatural. It's not unnatural for humans to be penned in by walls. It's called prison.
Mm-hmm.
You know, but America seems like they think that the prison model is the most profitable prison, is the most profitable model to do business. And they've gotten away with it for some time. But now it's breaking down in real time. People are escaping the prison.
We did say this is the year of the revolution. We're all revolting.
Yeah.
This is the same as the peasants in Bolivia revolting against the same model.
The peasants in Bolivia are revolting. You got the protesters who are going to G8 in Gleneagles, Scotland, hopefully, will stage a massive riot.
And ignore Bob Geldof.
Yeah, remove all of the cordons, keeping them, you know, politely behind some barrier.
Yeah.
Shouting, you know.
Bad man.
Bad. Oh, bad you're bad. Man. Shame on you. You're bad people. They need to break through those cordons and start to get really active. And so it's like we said 2 days ago on this show, that it's like 1968, really. This is the feeling you have in the street that people are ready to revolt.
Yeah.
And but it's happening also in digital space.
Mm-hmm.
Which is a huge opportunity for people to create their own economies. And this will ultimately take down these monopolist predators. The big loser in all of this, here we are on the Frick Show, breaking it down for you. The big loser in this new economic global model would be the person who's attempting to build the biggest walls and to build the biggest prisons, and that's the United States. It's just plain and simple. You know, the United States has the biggest prison population of any country in the world. They love the prison mm-hmm. business. They love monopoly business.
They kill more of their citizens than any other country in the world.
They love the predatory monopoly business. Well, you know, that business is losing favor to the People's Revolution. And we're the voice of that revolution here at Paris Live Radio. We'll be back with more Frick Show right after this.
On a chanté la tour Eiffel, Montmartre et plus le quartier Javel. Paris, c'est grand, c'est beau, c'est fou, mais c'est parce qu'il y a dessous un brave homme d'employé qui le matin sur le quai fait des huit compliqués métro. C'est le journal à 8 francs qu'on lit debout en roulant, gêné par un chapeau métro. C'est la dame qui se déplace pour se voir dans la glace d'un air indifférent métro. Chef de train qui s'embête et joue sur sa trompette un petit air rigolo, c'est le métro. Le visage de la capitale n'est pas celui de la rue Pigalle. Ça c'est l'argent, le jeu, l'amour, mais la vie de tous les jours. C'est le monsieur étourdi qui se lève et puis qui crie « Bon sang, je descends ici, mais attendez, mais attendez !» C'est à 6h du soir à la gare Saint-Lazare, la sortie des bureaux métro. Les trottins qui papotent, les amants qui se bécotent, la dame et son tricot métro. La fille aux yeux si doux qu'on suivrait n'importe où, mais qui descend trop tôt, c'est le métro. Les stations couleur vive, les biscuits, la lessive, les petits, les grands panneaux, métro. Rendez-vous à Glacière, juste en face des premières. À demain, mon coco, n'oublie pas. Tous les yeux du wagon fixés sur un genou rond qui se découvre un peu trop, métro. L'apprenti du plombier qui nous pose sur le pied son sac de 30 kilos, c'est le métro. Roule, roule toujours des chagrins, des amours, des joies de tous les jours, métro. On mène au rendez-vous les heureux, les jaloux d'un bout à l'autre bout. Métro, qui s'en va, qui revient, c'est le sang parisien, toujours vif et nouveau, métro. Ce qui fait que Paris, hier comme aujourd'hui, est toujours aussi beau, c'est le métro. Ce qui fait que Paris, hier comme aujourd'hui, est toujours aussi beau, c'est le métro.
You're listening to Paris Live Radio. More Paris, more live, and more radio.
Yves Montand. Oh, yeah, Yves Montand. Well, we selected that Yves Montand song because we think it's more than 50 years old, which would mean that it's in the public domain.
In Europe, anyway.
In Europe.
If you're listening in America, tune out because you're not allowed to listen.
Yeah, you're not allowed to listen to that song because you're American and you're in a prison. You're in an intellectual property prison. You're part of the new class of Guantanamo Bay, Chez Vous. In America, America's own Guantanamo Bay. Oh, you don't need to go to Cuba to be in Guantanamo Bay.
No, you
just
don't.
Stay there in your little hovel. Try to service the debt on your mortgage, pimping out your wife, pimping out your dog to scientists who are trying to reanimate it. Try to make it with being a pimp. Pimp Daddy, Mac Daddy. You think all those rappers on TV, that was for nothing? No, they're trying to tell you how to be a pimp daddy. That's the lesson they're trying to teach you.
That's the future.
You just be a hoe. You a hoe. You be hoes. My hoes and my pimps and my sugar daddy Mac. Got it like that. In your smack. You know what I'm saying? That's right. You're all a bunch of whores. That's the message from P. Diddy.
Yeah.
We's all whores. You know, it's amazing fashion in America that's being adopted by these white kids. You know, it's taken from prison. You know, the idea of not having shoelaces or letting your trousers fall down around your butt crack, this is because you're not allowed to have a belt in prison because you're likely to hang yourself.
Really?
Which is true in America. People are going to start hanging themselves more. Instead of lynching black people down south, they're going to have white people hanging themselves. They're going to be self-lynching.
Well, you do say
lynchmyself.net.
It's a prison system, so it makes sense that we're all going to put our trousers down around our waist.
Well, you can buy wrongful birth insurance, as we discussed yesterday in this show, and the only way it pays off is to hang yourself. You can have a white Billie Holiday singing about new strange fruit. Strange organic fruit. White fruit. That's strange. White people self-lynching themselves. That's pretty strange. Fruit. Strange fruit.
Max has gone crazy.
Meanwhile, all the natural resources of the world, the real natural resources, the gold... The gold of the world, 70% of it is mined and developed in what are called poor countries.
Strange. Same with oil. Strange.
So when the financial bubble collapses, thanks to Alan Greenspan's delusional, drug-induced psychosis, then the poor people will become rich because they've got the gold. And the rich people are holding their dick in their hands. They got a lot of worthless insurance and bonds.
It's like that guy out in Pigalle.
They'll be begging. They'll be begging for food. They'll be begging the Mexicans. Let me in. You know, immigration is going to be reversed. And then Mexico will say, "Go, no, go away." And then Bush will say, "What about NAFTA? You said we want to come in. Let us in.
That's why they're going to lock them out.
We got NAFTA. Let us in. We want your tortillas. We're starving. We can't eat our insurance policies. We're dying. We're dead. We're dead men." Speaking of dead men, this is Max Kaiser, Dead Man Talking.
Exactly.
You're listening to Le Frick Show, and we're here every day at this time. And we try to break it down for you so you don't have to. We pre-digest the news. Or we could say we filter the news with our filter, because all news is filtered. If you listen to CNN, ABC, NBC, CNBC... Canal Plus, whatever, they're filtering the news. They got one filter versus another filter. There's nothing as abject reality. Object reality doesn't exist. There's no reality. There's nothing real. Nothing is real. This is what the Beatles said. Nothing is real. Some song they came up with.
We got
George and John in Orange County. Half the Beatles are going to reanimate them on this show using the new K9 reanimator machine brought to you by the Boffins. We got copyright-free music. We got John Crackhead Snow underneath the table filleting me. Up here in Pigalle. Yeah, a little more tongue, John.
Who's paying who for that?
You know, John, he does it for free.
Does he?
Yeah, he's a jizz whore. John Crackhead Snow. I offered him some crack, but he said, no, I'll just take the jizz. That's what he lives on. How do you think his eyebrows get so white? He's got a whiteout. He swallows more jizz than Linda Lovelace. That are worst or best, however you want to describe it.
Okay.
Behind the green door.
The green door.
Behind the green door.
Is this part of Linda Lovelace's over?
Deep throat.
I never saw it. Did you see it?
I never did. Emmanuel. These are classic porno films from the 1970s.
Is Emmanuel a French one?
She is French, but the movie was made in Burbank.
Okay. Yeah. Last Tango in Paris?
That was made in Paris.
That was like softcore porn.
Bertolucci. Mm-hmm. That was a great movie. Mm. Brando. Apparently, emotionally, he got so drained from doing that portrayal, he never really recovered. This is one of the reasons why Brando kind of went into decline over the years, is because doing Last Tango in Paris with Bertolucci here in Paris, playing the role of the American expatriate who gives himself entirely to the openness of the French culture, he goes basically insane. And because he's a method actor, he allowed himself to go insane.
Mm-hmm.
And he never fully recovered from making that movie. So the story goes. And Brando...
Is that why America's so obese? They all come here. This is the number one tourist destination, you know.
That's
they
right.
all come here. They go crazy.
Yeah.
And they go back home and they start eating Mars bars. They're like,
They lose themselves. Once you've been to Paris, you can never go home again. And that's the story with a lot of our listeners. You know, we have listeners here in Paris. They came here for a quick weekend. They've been here for 15, 20 years. They take one look at the Eiffel Tower and they go, my God, I can never go back to Schenectady. I can never go back to Detroit. Even though Detroit is actually from a French word, Detroit.
Yeah, I heard that.
Which means three virgins.
No, it doesn't.
I'm having sex with three virgins. Detroit. Now we got some more. We got messages again. We got the consultant who sent us a new email. He said, tone down the sex, guys. All right. No more sex with guys. Only sex with chicks.
He's getting embarrassed watching us.
He's French and he's getting embarrassed. That's why they're trying to separate us. They're separating us. We can't sit right across from each other anymore.
We do have a screen between us
now. Because we're touching each other
now.
Too much. Now we're like three, four
feet
away.
It's like prison. Like, it's the prison model. We're always talking about this. It's a prison model everywhere. It's a prison model here in Paris Live Radio. There's a glass window between Max and I. So between me and Max. Forgive me for that grammatical
it's
error.
It's like Silence of the Lambs. You're Jodie Foster, and I'm Hannibal Lecter. They got a big wall between us. We can't touch. We can't. We just can talk.
At least I can see you. And I can hear you through my headphones.
And I'm thinking about fava beans.
Uh-huh.
And I can smell your Jeannette scent wafting over. So, how do you know, you can't say, how are you going to stop sex? How are you going to stop it?
Well, it's obviously like happened
humanity.
At least 6 billion times.
You know, digital representation of sex, you know, it doesn't matter. You're in cyberspace, you're in analog space, it's not going to stop. It's going to continue. That's the way it is. I didn't invent it. Talk to God. Speaking of God, guess where the most God-forsaked place is in America? Guess where they really think that God has given up in America? Guess what city? According to this guy's Honorable Senator Rick Santorum.
Okay.
We're going to talk about sex. We're going to talk about Jesus Christ. That's the alternative, sex or Jesus Christ.
So he's saying that God has punished this one place.
Yeah. Guess what city is the most evil, according to this Honorable Senator Rick Santorum?
I'm going to say it has to be on the East Coast.
Yes.
Is it?
Yes. Yes.
Boston.
That's correct.
Is it? Yeah. Oh, my God. Because I always think of this as the Boston Brahmins and all the you know, the liberals, the so-called liberals. Is it because they have gay marriage?
Well, according to this guy, Senator Rick Santorum,
mm-hmm.
sounds like Senator Rick Scrotum.
Is he related to Charles Clark?
Possibly. It is startling that those in the media and academia appear most disturbed by this aberrant behavior. Okay, this is the aberrant behavior that we see in America's media these days.
Yeah.
Since they have zealously promoted moral relativism. Okay, that's a big buzzword this year, the new pope.
Yeah.
Moral relativism.
Mm-hmm.
By sanctioning, quote, private moral matters. You know, it's privates in quotes. Because apparently moral matters are a matter of public concern of the church.
Okay.
And that we as private humans don't have rights over our private lives.
Okay.
That's why.
He's a Republican?
He's a ninny.
Yeah, remember Republicans used to be for, like, keeping the state out of your private life.
But now that
they have been co-opted by the evangelical Christian blight, they've become a theocracy.
Right.
So now they're saying now suddenly we're Republican means a theocrat.
Yeah, the word private is in quotations.
Okay.
That's all you need to know about what this guy, Senator Rick Santorum, is saying.
Yeah, well, he's out of there in 18 months anyway. So.
He goes on to say that moral matters such as alternative lifestyles mm-hmm. yeah, versus what? The one sanctioned lifestyle is by Rick Santorum, who represents a bunch of buggering pedophile priests.
Yeah.
Is that the lifestyle he's promoting?
Yeah, but these are the same people that reanimate dogs and clone beef and say that's better than what God delivered you.
And then he goes on to say, when the culture is sick, every element in it becomes infected. Yeah, okay, Dr. Goebbels. While there's no excuse for this scandal, it is no surprise that Boston...
Yeah.
More than a feeling...
I'm not allowed to sing.
You are more than... Boston.
You're making noise with your microphone there by sticking
care.
It down your trousers.
I'm taking any more notes. Don't send me any more telegrams. We're seceding from the management of the station. They keep sending us telegrams. Keep your telegrams.
We have
we're
the
in
keys
control
now.
Now.
I've just locked the door.
We're not taking any more of your telegrams. So he goes, it's no surprise that Boston is the seat of academic, political, and cultural, okay, wait for it now, liberalism in America lies at the center of the storm. Yeah, it's liberalism. By the way, what is Milton Friedman?
A liberal.
A neoliberal.
Exactly.
What is the G8, IMF, and World Bank pushing around the world? Neoliberalism.
I guess you should read his constitution as well. They founded a liberal state.
So this guy, he's got problems, man.
Is he leading these evangelicals who are protesting out? You know, this group of evangelicals have been going around the state, the country, protesting outside U.S. soldiers' funerals.
Yeah.
Because they're saying that the reason why they're dying in Iraq is because they're sinners. God hates America.
Yeah, we're gonna talk about this. You know, since we can't talk about sex on this show, we're going to be talking about buggering pedophile Catholic priests. We'll be right back after this short break with more of La Frick Show. You're listening to Paris Live Radio. Stay tuned for more La Frick.
Don't touch that dial. Or I'll bite you. You're listening to Paris Live Radio.
Cendrillon, pour ses 20 ans, est la plus jolie des enfants. Son bel amant, le prince charmant, la prend sur son cheval blanc. Elle oublie le temps dans ce palais d'argent. Pour ne pas voir qu'un nouveau jour se lève, elle ferme les yeux et dans ses rêves, elle parle. Jolie petite histoire. Elle parle. La plus triste des mamans, le prince charmant a foutu le camp avec la belle au bois dormant. Elle a vu son cheval blanc loin d'elle emmener ses enfants. Elle commence à boire, à traîner dans les bars, en mitouflée dans son cafard. Maintenant elle a fait le trottoir. Elle part. Dans l'ambulance, mais es-tu sa dernière chance? Tout
As-tu vraiment fait de ton mieux? Car sur la terre et dans les cieux, tes anges n'aiment pas devenir vieux.
Eleven 34 in Paris. Paris Live Radio. That's what you've stumbled into. Canal Satellite Channel 118 is where you find us if you're somewhere out there in France and you're not actually in Paris. Doesn't matter. There's 12 million households in France that get Canal Satellite Radio, and you can tune into the Frick Show. Even if you don't understand English, just tune into Frick Show.
They understand Le Frick.
They understand Le Frick. You understand part of it. You know?
Exactly.
You got the first two words.
That's all you need to know.
Le Frick Show.
And, of course, to hear the timbre of Max Kaiser, the Reading Riser's voice.
Yeah, you can hear the timbre of my voice. If you're a chick, of course, that'll have
that's
great
all you need.
Impact yeah. on your wholeness, your beingness, your. You gotta do that. 11:35 in Paris. Yeah, where were we? Protesters to disrupt soldier's funeral. A marblehead soldier who was killed in Afghanistan is scheduled to be laid to rest Monday. But a church group from Kansas is expected to try to disrupt the service, and police are on alert for any problems. News Center 5, Gail Huff, reported that Staff Sergeant Christopher Piper, 43, served in both Afghanistan and Iraq and was awarded a Bronze Star for his combat service. The Green Beret died when his convoy was bombed June 3rd in Afghanistan, defending a new shipment of heroin to the UK. A right-wing Protestant Christian church group from Topeka, who was smoking amphetamines at the time and gorging themselves on Krispy Kreme donuts, and engaged in immoral acts, they're planning to demonstrate at Piper's funeral in the Old North Church. They claim the U.S. soldiers like Piper. This is interesting, Stacey.
Yeah,
they claim that U.S. soldiers like Piper are dying because the country, that would be America, is being punished for its tolerance of what they see as immoral behavior, such as homosexuality.
Mm-hmm. Well, this sounds kind of like the U.S. Al-Qaeda duopoly, because this is exactly what Osama bin Laden says when when he inspires his young soldiers to go blow themselves up, is that, you know, all the punishment of the Saudi people are repressed because they're bad. They should flay themselves and, you know, blow themselves up for their sins.
Or it sounds like they're agreeing with Osama. Because remember that after 9/11, we learned that Osama and his group think America is immoral and they deserve to get bombed. Okay?
Exactly.
So now this this Christian group in the flyover states of America are agreeing with Osama. They're saying Americans are dying because they're immoral.
Yeah, they actually were holding a placard up saying God hates the United States. So do a lot of other people.
Well, so they're agreeing with Osama. So why aren't these people being jailed? They're supporting the insurgents in Iraq.
So we should send them to Guantanamo Bay.
They should open a branch of Guantanamo Bay called McGuantanamo Bay.
By the way,
McGuantanamo.
So if you're saying that these evangelicals agree with Osama, then
they're on the same side.
And George Bush is an evangelical Christian.
Yeah.
So he agrees with Osama. He's harboring him.
Apparently. You see, this is the problem. They can't find him because he's in the White House. He's
exactly.
in the basement of the White House.
I think he's in George Bush's place in Crawford, Texas.
He's out there clearing brush in Crawford.
Exactly.
You know, everyone loves the American West.
Yeah.
So does Osama. That's where he is. He's clearing brush.
With all the oil. He likes the oil. He likes the smell of oil.
Yeah, you know, he's at home.
He's reminding him of home.
So the U.S. evangelicals are agreeing with Osama that the reason America's getting bombed is because America's immoral.
Wow, this is a big story.
Yeah, I mean...
The evangelicals and Al-Qaeda have united.
Have formed one unit.
And they're going to take down America. They're taking on the American soldier. You know, we told you last week about the U.S. contractors fighting the U.S. soldiers.
Yeah, that's right.
And I guess now even the evangelicals are joining that fight against the U.S. soldiers.
Wow, they're some pretty serious people, those evangelicals. Evangelicals. Was Timothy McVeigh an evangelical?
He was an American.
He a Scientologist. What cult
he's
was
reanimated
he in?
Himself, and he's going to join Tom Cruise on this flight to another planet.
He was part of some cult. Yeah. Yeah. Well, this is while we were talking about this other maniac, Honorable Senator Rick Scrotum, who fighting the for the evangelicals in Congress. So they got the Osama evangelicals in the Senate now.
Yeah.
So this guy, Rick Santorum, the Scrotum, apparently feels he's supporting Osama. He is Osama's voice on the floor of the Senate
mm-hmm.
because he's fighting immorality.
So him and Bill Fisted are the two.
Bill Filched. Bill Filch. Bill Filch.
These two are the evangelicals in the
They're
Senate.
Down there. Yeah.
Taking on the U.S. soldier.
They got some of that reanimation drug over Terri Schiavo.
Uh-huh.
They're pumping it into Terri Schiavo right now. She's resting not so peacefully, I can assure you, because you got these evangelicals trying to rise her up with this reanimation drug.
Yeah, but she's
still... So they want her to run
for
Senate down in Florida with Catherine Harris.
Uh-huh.
Because they need that representation. They want to get the reanimated vote.
God really hates Florida because they keep on having all these shark attacks, don't they?
Yeah, they got the hurricanes and the sharks.
Mm-hmm.
Clearly, and the evangelicals and Osama would agree that God hates Florida.
Yeah. Did you see that those during the last hurricane season they had a 110-foot wave? That was measured.
I was surfing that wave.
That's pretty.
Didn't you see me on that wave?
But that seems very apocalyptic.
Cowabunga, baby! You didn't know I could surf a 110-foot wave, did you?
That's pretty crazy, though.
Was it a rogue wave?
Some rogue wave. I think it was God's wave.
God's
down
wave?
There to wipe these people away because God hates America.
Full of sharks,
according to the evangelical Christians, anyway.
Yeah, boy, I didn't know they had it. They were felt like that.
Well,
I guess we should put more of them in government. That's what America needs: more of these America-hating evangelicals in government.
Well, we always argue, don't we, that George Bush hates America? Now
that the proof is right here,
we have the proof on this piece of paper.
He has contempt for America. He pisses on the Constitution and the Bill of Rights.
Yeah,
forget about the Quran being desecrated upon in Guantanamo. Look at George Bush peeing on the Constitution. I take exception to that.
Do you?
I'm offended by that. I know that he thinks it's, he talks to Laura Bush about it. For him, it's called foreplay.
Oh, really?
That's his foreplay there.
Wow.
Well, they got this guy, Rick Scrotum, and the Honorable Senator, who was blaming Boston for all the pedophile scandals. Because, you know, all these
the band? He was blaming a rock band for all the pedophiles.
Did I say that?
He said he was blaming Boston for all these pedophile scandals.
Oh, that's right. No, he's blaming the town of Boston.
The city of Boston,
the
okay.
City, yeah.
You have to, you know, we are a radio station. People are used to talking about rock bands.
That's right.
So if they're just tuning in, they might think, holy cow, you know, the blogosphere will be full of stories about Boston being pedophiles.
Yeah, well, you know, New England, you know, that's an evil place. After all, they threw the Boston Tea Party there.
Exactly.
How evil was that? They were revolting against their colonial masters.
They were terrorists.
They were trying to break out of the prison of colonialism
mm-hmm.
in Boston. So, yeah. You know, we should cast aspersions there. They've got a whole bad history, don't they?
Bad.
God would not have tolerated the Boston Tea Party.
No. Evil.
You're defying authority.
Evil.
Clearly, according
okay,
to
okay, so what does Scrotum say? I mean, Santorum?
He's talking about, he mentions John Paul II a lot here. I don't know if he got the memo that there's a new pope. I think they got a new pope, but he keeps talking about John Paul II.
They have the Nazi in now.
Yeah, this guy Rottweiler.
Rottweiler, who used to be in the SS, wasn't he? Or the Nazi Youth Party.
Yeah,
when
whatever.
He was in Germany.
You know, we can't hold that against them. Everyone goes through a rebellious period in their youth. Okay,
apparently.
So he's part of the SS. He was young. He didn't know better. Did he smoke pot?
I don't think the fascists smoked pot.
They weren't big pot.
They might
smokers?
Have taken crystal meth because it seems to be the fascist drug of choice.
Yeah, they like.
You know, it's a booming industry in America.
The neo-fascists in America love crystal meth.
Yeah, especially down in Kansas.
Keeps them up. They keep them.
Where all these evangelicals are.
Yeah, go down to Walmart, get some guns and bullets. Even now, okay, this guy goes on. He's
hey,
talking,
speaking of Walmart,
did you see
the heir to the Walmart fortune died yesterday?
Really?
In a plane crash?
Who was that?
Somebody Walton.
The Walton?
Sam Walton Jr.
No,
he died in a plane crash. He built his own plane and was flying it, and apparently it crashed, so God hates him too.
He built his own plane?
Yeah.
Was it safe to build your own?
Think,
did he have it
no,
tested for
obviously
safety?
He bought it at Walmart, and it was one of these Chinese self-assembly kits.
It was an IKEA build your own plane?
Yeah, but from Walmart.
He took it out of the box, he built it, it was missing a screw, like it always is missing a screw, and he decided to fly it anyway.
Yeah.
That's the problem with this IKEA furniture. You know, it's missing the screw. It's missing that one bolt.
Always one, yeah.
And you say, you know what? Ah, what's one bolt? What's one screw?
Yeah.
It won't be a problem. So you put it in your living room. You put the little coffee table in your living room. You put the bookshelf up. You know, 3 months later, of course, it's falling down. It's falling on the floor. Big crash, big accident. Why?
It's too late to return it.
Missing
by then.
That screw.
Yeah.
You see? It's planned obsolescence in a very screwy way, in a very sneaky Swedish way. You know, they talk about sustainability in Sweden, but they always fail to put in that one extra screw in the IKEA box.
And
this is their own planned obsolescence. This is the way the Swedes do it.
Exactly. It's much smarter than
Bauman. This guy, he's built his own plane from an IKEA kit.
Yep.
Or from Walmart's IKEA clone kit.
Yep.
He built his own plane.
Walmart, they always have two screws missing to save a little bit money. That's why they always undersell the competition.
You know, we can't talk about screwing on this show, honey. We got the memo. No more screwing on the
oh,
show.
I'm sorry.
Can't
I'm
talk
sorry.
About screws.
Your fragile ears out there.
Yeah, the poor people out there, they might get, you know, or... Were we just talking about the shows being oral sex?
It is last oral
week?
Sex.
They got the consultant. Okay, last week. This is why consultants, they all need to be murdered.
Uh-huh.
Last week, it was oral sex. Oh, right. Yeah, talk about oral sex. A-U-R-A-L, oral sex. It's Paris Live Radio. Sexual satisfaction
turning
in the
morning. You on.
Sex, turning you on. Now, okay,
orally,
this week,
yeah.
Because they read something in some trade magazine, you know, for this moment, they mm-hmm. changed their mind. Okay, next moment's going to be something else. This is what I hate about consultants. They all should be flayed, shot, burned, tarred, feathered. They're worthless. They just add a lot of expenses, but they get nothing to the bottom line. They're just taking off the top line. They're a complete waste of money.
Yeah.
Anybody gets a nickel for consulting is stealing. Consulting equals stealing, okay? So next week, tomorrow's going to be like, oh, yeah, it used to be sexual banter. It used to be interesting. It used to be a lot of tension. You got to bring back more of that sexual tension. So you know what I say? Here's my consultant. Here's what I say to the consultant. See that? Here's what I say. No more memos. No more fucking memos. I don't want any more consulting. Why? Because I'm a professional. I've been doing this for 20 years. Don't consult with me anymore. Rip your head off.
He used to be on CBS KLSX Los Angeles, home of Howard Stern, who, you know, Howard Stern left the FM dial. Why?
Too many consultants.
Too many consultants. And he's gone to satellite, where we broadcast via Canal Satellite, Channel 118.
Did Arthur Andersen help Enron?
No.
The KMPG? Are they being tried for misconsulting?
Exactly.
Misselling?
Exactly. No more consultants. That's the motto for today.
Consulting, put
them if you go away with one message today, if you've learned that, don't hire any consultants.
Well, let's get back to this guy, Rick Strodom.
Okay.
I'm reading this thing.
Yeah, you've been talking about this for 45 minutes now.
There's a website
called
Catholic.org.
Uh-huh.
Catholic Online, Catholic.org. If anyone from Catholic.org wants to call me up and talk to me about this, you're welcome to do so. Okay, you thought Jesus was experiencing pain. You haven't experienced, you don't know what the meaning of the word pain is. You call up this show, I'll tell you what pain is. You'll experience pain like you'll be blowing stigmata out of your, you know, tits. Okay? He goes on to say, even now we witness the, quote, new evangelization through many ecclesial lay movements. Then he goes on to mention a lot of stuff that sounds like the something out of Macbeth, something from the Three Witches of Macbeth.
Ooh.
Have you ever heard
of
this stuff?
How does their speech go? Yeah.
Opus Dei? What is Opus Dei?
Opus Dei, yes. That's the what's his name? Mel Gibson. He's part of Opus Dei. It's they think that the second... John Paul II was the devil. He was part of Satan because they were too liberal. He said the church became too liberal.
Oh, I see.
And this is Opus Dei is this new Christian, new Catholic group. They want to return to the old times. Like, remember when they were boiling people and drowning witches and stuff like that.
So just like in Iraq, you got U.S. soldiers fighting U.S. contractors. Here in the Catholic Church, you got Catholics fighting Catholics.
Yeah, exactly. This seems to be the new
Civil War. The new crusade,
revolution.
The crusade. It's no longer Catholic Christians against Muslims,
no.
Arabs.
No.
It's Christians against Christians.
Yeah. Well, and Osama bin Laden's on somebody's side.
He's
one
with
of the, sides.
The theocracy of America.
He's with Opus Dei.
Okay. Well, I'm pretty impressed that you knew about this Opus Dei thing.
Oh, yes. Oh, yes.
How about this? Do you know what this is? Neo-Catechumenaten.
You know, actually, the Secretary for Education in the United Kingdom, Ruth Kelly... She's part of Opus Dei as well. So this will be coming. I guess they're training new young British Christian soldiers as well.
How about this one? Do you know what Focalar is?
Focalar.
Focalar.
No.
Okay. How about Regnum Christi?
Isn't he a baseball player for the catcher for New
Boston
York?
Boston Red Sox.
Yankees, yeah.
The Boston Red Sox.
Okay.
The Devils team.
Oh, I
Because they're
know
in Boston.
That. Regnum who?
Rectum Christi. I mean, Regnum Christi.
Regnum Christi. Yeah. Something about God.
It sounds like a gay porno film.
The Kingdom of God.
Regnum Christi.
I bet.
Stars in anal penetration.
But starring in this case, it's
the ghost of Pop Dibner.
It's the Kingdom of Christ.
Okay, well, that sounds good.
Mm-hmm.
So the lady across America is also demanding faithful Catholic schools and colleges.
Okay.
Yeah, right. What does that mean? Pay their dues?
Yeah, suddenly the Catholics are jumping in on this Baptist bandwagon. Because, you know, the Baptists have this whole evangelical movement, and they got all this power, and everybody's talking about them. And
I thought the Baptists were black.
Well, they used to be, but now...
like the Baptist church is not the black church?
Yeah, yeah.
They're saying, well, yeah, they got...
aren't the evangelical movement, aren't they Baptists?
So all these white Christians in America are trying to be black?
Yeah. The Protestants aren't the ones that are evangelical.
No, the Protestants are white.
Yeah, they're German.
The Baptists are black.
Yeah.
So this guy is a black guy. Rick Santorum, he's a black senator?
No, he's white.
He's white? But he thinks he's black.
He wants to be black.
He wants
everybody,
to be...
like you said earlier, all the white middle-class kids are dressing like black, you know, prisoners. And these guys are evangelicizing like black Baptist preachers.
So they want to be black. They want to be black preachers.
But they always take it a little bit too far, don't they? They always have to go that one last bloody inch.
That little Dr. Goebbels touch.
That's their Germanic side to them.
A little eugenics into the mix.
Yeah. It all comes down to Germany, really.
Well, you know, most of the immigrants to America are German.
25% of Americans have Germanic history.
Germanic stock.
Backgrounds, yeah.
And clearly we're seeing the special German mind.
Milton Friedman, isn't he German?
I don't know. This is kind of interesting. This is a very good story here at Paris Live Radio with Max and Stacey every morning for the next 10 minutes, and then we'll be thrown off the air permanently. Our last 10 minutes broadcasting on this network.
In which case, you can find us in Pigalle just talking on the corner.
Yeah, then we'll just be doing the corner thing.
We'll innovate.
You know, the Supreme Court in America recently decided in a contentious decision, 5-4, to allow private corporations in cahoots with local governments to throw people out of their homes to further the interest of the private developers under what's called the eminent domain clause.
Yeah.
So in an ironic twist.
The law was originally meant for the greater good, but now it's for the private good.
Yeah. Well, this is the thing in America. These things have been confused. Supreme Court Justice David Souter, who ruled in favor of the private sector's ability to throw people out of their homes so that they can further their private development.
Yeah.
In much the same way that the U.S. cavalry threw the Indians off the land 250 years ago.
Exactly.
200 years ago, 150 years ago.
Exactly.
100 years ago, 50 years ago. In much
it's
the same
still
way.
Still ongoing.
Still ongoing. You know, look, if you want to see the future of white America, look at your local Indian reservation.
Exactly.
You know, this is your future.
If
to
you're
depend
not that...
on a reservation. If you're not a billionaire, you're an Indian engine, no good scoundrel.
You're a red man.
Savage.
We're all red men now.
So apparently this guy voted for eminent domain. So, in an ironic twist, you've got a local group called Free Star Media is now using this new law to throw this guy out of his house to build a new hotel.
Excellent. Well, let's see if it's approved. But they have applied for planning permission, haven't they?
A proposed development called the Lost Liberty Hotel.
Mm-hmm. And they're serious. They say it might sound like a joke, but they're actually going to get a bunch of billionaires and force Souter out of his house. Hey, by the way, did you know David? It's David H. Souter, isn't it? Did you notice that everybody's suddenly putting an H between their name?
Jesus H. Christ, he started it. He started it. Now you got Donald H. Rumsfeld, David H. Souter.
Yeah, it's pretty weird.
Suddenly, I'm my name Max H. Kaiser, Stacey H. Herbert, Paris H. Live H. Radio. At parishliveradio.hcom.
I think it's something. It's like this.
You're going to change the name from the A-bomb to the H-bomb. It's the hydrogen
bomb.
Well, there is an H-bomb. That's what it's all about. It's the hydrogen bomb. It's a secret scroll on the bottom of the news from Donald H. Rumsfeld.
On CNBC.
On CNBC to his followers that he's pursuing the H-bomb path.
Well, they just approved yesterday this new hydrogen nuclear
power plant. They approved new plutonium.
No. That's the new secret weapon America has. But yesterday in Europe, they're going to build this new hydrogen nuclear fusion plant in the south of France.
Oh, right.
In Cucaracha or something like that. It was some weird
Cucaracha, France?
Yeah.
Is that near Belize?
Yeah.
Where is Cucaracha, France? I haven't been there yet. Hello?
Is anybody home? It's in the south of France.
Cucaracha's in the south?
Yeah.
Here's something you don't see often.
Here's
a headline you hardly ever see.
What's that?
French business confidence rises.
Wow. What happened?
French business confidence rises for first month in eight.
In 8 months?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Business confidence in France.
Because they see America and the UK blowing up, their economies blowing up.
Yep. An index measuring sentiment among 2,000 French manufacturers climbed in May. And there are encouraging signs, but it's not the signal of pronounced rebound, said some dude, an economist at Goldman Sachs in Paris. He predicts French growth at 1.4% this year. Yeah, of course. It's 1.4% that's sustainable,
mm-hmm.
that's producing less garbage.
Yeah.
Okay, America's growth is 3, 4, or 5%, but it's creating 8, 10, 12, 14% garbage.
Uh-huh.
It's ratcheting up, gearing up the garbageism.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, France should be applauded, as we said at the top of the show. It's 11:54 in the morning. Soon it'll be noon, and we'll be rolling over this show into another show at Paris Live Radio, a musical-based show with lots of music. This is a talk-based show with lots of talk. And the music that we play is open, is common Creative Commons music.
It's Creative Commons. So if you actually, if you have any Creative Commons music out there, just email it to
me. Yeah, we'll play any music. It's Creative Commons. Well, not any music.
Even if it's bad, we'll have to warn the audience. I'm sorry, but we'll have to warn them that a bad song is coming up, but it's free.
We might play some bad songs, you know, if it's Creative Commons. You know, everyone needs a little break. Here's something that's a complete waste of money. The space ring could shade Earth and stop global warming.
Yeah, what is this? They're trying to build some sort of space shield so to keep the sun from shining on us.
Well, the economics simply don't work.
Yeah, but we are so messed up. We are beyond hope.
The Swiss are trying to cover the Alps with tarp to prevent them from melting.
So basically the Earth is about to look like a big construction site.
It looks like Notre Dame during the cleaning. They put up the big scaffolding.
This is why the EU is expanding, because we need some construction workers, cheap construction workers, to go up out there into outer space and put up some some space shield.
So aliens will come with some, like, a miracle cure, and they'll pass by Earth, and they'll be under construction. There'll be a big tarp and scaffolding. They'll say under construction.
Yeah.
And they'll fly by. They won't give us the medicine we need to save ourselves.
It'll be Tom Cruise. He's bringing them back. He's going to get lost. He's going to be like, oh, that doesn't look like the Earth. That's not the same Earth I left, so it must be a different. I must be lost.
He'll get lost. Tom Cruise, he'll be going down the Scientology science fiction planet with his friend John Travolta.
With L. Ron Hubbard.
With L. Ron Hubbard. You know, that's the whole science fiction they created.
Yeah.
And he'll be coming back to Earth with the cure. But there'll be this huge tarp and scaffolding around planet Earth thanks to the space ring.
They're going to be totally confused.
And they'll be like, what the hell is this? We took a wrong turn somewhere near Jupiter.
They're going to go save another planet.
They're going to get some parallel dimension. And that's what. And God will be... God...
We'll be laughing
his ass off. You suckers. Because he took a spread bet against Earth in a parallel dimension.
And there's going to be big graffiti on the outside saying, God hates America. God hates the Earth.
Let me tell you something, Catholics in America. God's betting against you. He's got a spread bet against Catholics in America. He's got a spread bet against America. He's got a spread bet against Catholics.
Speaking of
that. I'll tell you the truth, I'm with God. I'm making the same bet.
Speaking of the prison system, do you want to hear a little speech?
Well, we've got 3.005 minutes left in the show. What are you going to read to us now?
This is from one of the greatest Americans alive. His name was Seattle, and he was the chief of the Duwamish, Squamish, and allied Indian tribes. And this is a letter he sent to President Franklin Pierce in 1854 when the U.S. government had tried to, was asking at the time to acquire tribal lands.
And you mean like the eminent domain?
Yeah. Well, okay. Obviously, we know the result because this guy's name was Seattle. You know.
So he got killed.
They killed him and then honored him by naming the city after him.
Nice.
Anyway, he asked, how can you buy or sell the sky, the warmth of the land? The idea is strange to us. If we do not own the freshness of the air and the sparkle of the water, how can you buy them? Every part of this earth is sacred to my people. We know that the white man does not understand our ways. One portion of land is the same to him as the next. For he is a stranger who comes in the night and takes from the land whatever he needs. The earth is not his brother, but his enemy. And when he has conquered it, he moves on. He leaves his father's grave behind, and he does not care. His father's grave and his children's birthright are forgotten. He treats his mother the earth and his brother the sky as things to be bought, plundered, sold like sheep or bright beads. His appetite will devour the earth and leave behind only a desert. And he said this in 1854. He was so smart. He foretold.
Only
today.
A desert. That's what's happening right now. Desertification in Spain.
Mm-hmm.
Huge desertification in China. Desertification in Australia.
Mm-hmm.
Desertification in America. The Dust Bowl states. You don't hear about them. But actually, the Dust Bowl states, which brought in, which were the Okies of the Depression, those Dust Bowl states are dusting up again.
Yeah, apparently the water levels are lower, far lower than what they were at the time of the Dust Bowl.
So here you have a great American. And there was a list published recently where they put Ronald Reagan at the top of the great American list. They should put Seattle at the top of the great American list.
Exactly.
Because he was telling it like it is. He was telling the truth.
He tried to warn you.
He listened to the Frick Show.
You should have read the prospectus.
You should have read the prospectus.
But we're all bankers
Earth.
In America. We don't want to know the truth, the ugly truth, because we're whores.
Yeah.
Right?
I'm afraid so. And, so we're left with a big desert. Big desertification.
Mm.
Big dry spot where the planet Earth used to be.
Yeah, surrounded by a construction site.
We're leaving on quite an upper here. Leaving people out. Jump into the Seine. Then their lunch break. They can't take it anymore.
Well, it's a nice way to go.
What do we have? What's on tomorrow's show?
Tomorrow, we're going to be talking about, we're going to give you all the latest celebrity news.
Oh, that's celebrity news, yeah.
Because Wednesday is Trivial Day.
Today is Wednesday.
Is it?
Isn't it?
If you know what day it is, and you want to email us and tell us what day it is, we're at lefrickshow@gmail.com.
lefrickshow@gmail.com. Cue music, and we'll be coming to you very soon. That didn't work either. I was going to say cue music, and it was going to be cute. Are we going to have a cue music? I don't think so. It's just going to roll over to 12.
We just might have to stay here for the next few hours. We're completely out of oxygen, so if you have any oxygen tanks,
there's nothing coming on.
To send to the Moulin Rouge.
This is what they warned against, that, in fact, noon would come, and there would be no programming kicking in.
Oh, really?
So, here we are, past noon.
And we're
and our,
still
our
here.
Consultants
and,
who are listening. We have more consultants listening
help.
To this show
if
than
you
we have
If you know how
listeners.
To operate a computer when radio, please come help us.
Yeah, because here we are. We're blowing into the next hour, and there's nothing kicking in. We could put a song on, but I don't think that would solve the problem. Because then we would leave, and there would be nothing but dead air. There would be a desertification in the radio station. The whole radio station is becoming a desert of dead air if we leave.
You should have listened to Seattle.
Seattle was trying to save you.
The chief of the Duwamish, Squamish, and United Allied Tribes.
He foretold the truth. Well, I don't know what to do. I mean, it's now 12:01. It's clearly we should be off the air by now. But,
oh, I see the Brazilian transvestite is running in here. Oh, his high heels. He's like clicketing, clicketing, clicketing. We're not going to the next program. And it's
12:01 and 5 seconds. See you tomorrow. I think this looks promising. Now we're going to cut into the next show. Hope everything.
Oh,
look,
nothing's starting until 1.
All right. Well,
there's
it's
a one-hour gap.
There's an expanded version of the Frick Show today.
So we have a one-hour expanded version of John Cage's Silence coming
up. For the next 1 hour, I wanted to read to you the full text of Senator Bill Scrotum's address.
Paris Live Radio.
It's one nation under the groove. It's a big family.
Pascal, look. Fat Joe. And Pip, be careful.
Stop. You need Power International, the quality movers with English-speaking staff. Your personal move counselor will take care of you from door to door and country to country. With 30 years experience, there'll be none of this.